It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. There we go. Okay. Well, yeah, I guess something came unplugged, y'all.
Oh, well, just the way the devil works sometimes.
I'm telling you what. Mm-hmm. Good morning, y'all. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. Come on now.
Yeah.
My mama Eva is over there running the iPad this morning, y'all. Hey, mama, I love you. Thank you for helping out. Our guest this morning is one of my favorites, y'all, Pastor Chris Ogden. How are you doing, sir?
It's all good. It's all good.
Amen.
Good to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, or you can post it to our Facebook page, and we'll get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Or now you can text it. Yeah, get a pen and paper. You can text it. You can text it now to 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City at 616 North Locust Avenue. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray?
That's fast.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Father, we just love you today. Thank you, Lord, for being in this house. Always a privilege, Lord, to be here at the Hour of Power. And Father, I'm just praying that this word will fall upon ears that need to hear. And, Father, victory will come to them. We give you the glory in advance. We thank you in advance for all you're going to do in Jesus' name.
Amen. I really like your title this morning.
Yeah.
See what Jesus sees.
Amen. Amen. I was working on this thought a couple of weeks ago, and as you girls are probably noticing, I got several thoughts working here. Hallelujah. But when Neva had called me and asked me if I could fill in today, always a privilege to come down, amen, to this house. And but God just dealt with me, amen, as I was working through this. And this is a word I want to share because every believer, every Christian, non-Christian alike, needs to hear, amen, that you need to see what Jesus sees. Amen. You need to hear what Jesus is saying. You need to understand the direction of the Holy Spirit. You need to know that you're not walking alone. Can I get an amen? Mm. That we are not in this battle on our own. Amen. But God has everything ready, everything equipped, everything directionally ready for you and I, that we might know how to walk, how to hear, how to see, where to go, and what to accomplish in the time that God has given us to do his will. And let me clarify on that will. Every person alive has a destiny. Every person alive has a purpose. And it's a good purpose. Amen. I believe that God always equipped man to be ready to do his will. But the sad thing about it is that in our arena and in life, and Monica, even today, with all the negative tone that's going on in our world today, people aren't looking so much for will. They're looking to survive. Amen. They're so driven by fear. They're so driven by insecurity at the moment. And this is not the will of God. Amen. We are to know our goings. We are to know our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The Bible clearly says that in his word. And so I want to bring a thought to you today, and that is that you see what Jesus sees. Amen. And if we're going to see what Jesus amen, sees, we're going to have to do it the same way Jesus did it. There's no way around it. Amen. Hallelujah. If Jesus went away to pray, we got to get away to pray. If Jesus found a private refuge, amen, for him and the Father, we have to find a private refuge for us and the Father. Hallelujah. And that will be different for different people. Some people pray in their car. Some people pray on their settee. Some people pray, amen, when they're doing other things, taking a walk in life and things like that. The important thing is that you connect. The important thing is that you listen. And then the most important thing is that once you get the marching orders, you have to learn to be obedient to the will of God. And sometimes we always know what to do. We're just not sure if we have the strength to do it or accomplish that. And so I want us to go to Mark chapter 6, amen, and about verse 45. And this was the incident where Jesus was walking on the water, which that would be amazing, amen, to see and to be in. Hallelujah. I always said, if they say you can drown with a tablespoon of water, I believe you can walk on the water. Come on now. Amen. I've always thought that that would be so amazing. Amen. But Jesus is saying here, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when he was even come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and alone on the land. He was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, about the fourth watch of the night. And he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and as if he would have passed them by. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to clarify some things here. Number one, if we read that Jesus is walking on the water, guess what? He's walking on water. Mm-hmm. Amen. If Jesus said that he's sending people away, there's a business that he wants to get done, amen, in private. And I think that we can learn from this. Amen. I read several times in the Word of God where Jesus went away to pray. Are you with me? Amen. He had to get away from the populace. He had to get away from the crowd. He had to get away, amen, from everything that was maybe bringing turmoil or just traffic or just busyness. Sometimes we have to get to that place that it's just you and God. Amen. And I think that we are short on the end of the stick on this if we're not careful. And we wonder why so many times we're in so much turmoil in our walk with God. Amen. I think many a times it's just we're not sure where we're going or what it is that we're supposed to be doing at the time that we're living at that moment. So there is a price to pray or to pay for clear vision. Amen. It doesn't come for free. It's going to cost you something. Sometimes you have to get away from people. Sometimes you have to get away from what's going on in your busy life. Amen. I know Monica, she doesn't do anything. She just goofs off. Her whole life is a goof off. Amen. She's never about nothing. She's always playing. She's always singing in her car. She's always just wandering in the world. Amen. But that's not the truth. The fact of the matter is that she's got an agenda, and I know that agenda. Amen. She loves her family. She loves her friends. She loves what she does. But that didn't come for free, did it, sister?
Oh, no.
Amen. There was a day you didn't walk that way. There was a day you didn't talk that way. And there was a day in your life, because I've heard the testimony several times, where things were a bit busy and a bit dark. Amen. But thank you, Jesus. Amen. But thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand that this particular setting that I'm getting ready to break down for us today, Jesus had just got done with 5,000. Amen. He was in a busy scenario. He had just fed 5,000 people, amen, miraculously. The disciples and the apostles were even in amazement because they couldn't believe. Jesus tells us to operate in what we have, not what we don't have. And what we have, amen, were some loaves and fishes, according to the Word of God. Amen. And them loaves and fishes fed 5,000 people. Now, that's beyond me. Amen. That means our homeless people can be taken care of. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. But somebody's got to do the believing. Somebody's got to do the praying. Somebody got to know how to go. Amen. My wife has got heavily involved in the Tulsa area with the homeless people. She has a lot of homeless friends, and she's very much in their lives and tries to minister to them. And I'm thinking, you know, this is exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can go to them. And let me be careful, amen, in what I say here, but I'm going to say it. There's a lot of professional homeless that don't need caring for, okay? But there are genuine homeless people out there. I've done many, many, many hours of documentary on our real homeless people out there, and they're easy to see the real homeless if you look for the right things. But the bottom line, is that it doesn't matter how much ministering you're doing, it doesn't matter how busy you are in ministry, there comes a time where you have to pull away. There comes a time where you need to refit your armor. There comes a time where you need to get quiet before the Lord. And this is what we're seeing right here with Jesus. Amen. He sent the apostles out, the disciples. He sent them out on a boat, said, go to the other side. Let's get away from the traffic. Amen. And he says, straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go, amen, to the other side. Now, let me, amen, decipher this. Number one, he put them in a boat, but number two, he knew where they were going. Amen. I want you to understand that God never sends you on a journey that he doesn't know where you're headed. Amen. And a lot of times, Monica, we can honestly say, we're not always sure where we're going, but we're going anyway. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. But God knows where we're headed. And if he is directing your steps, if he is directing your journey, you need to know that it's God. Because there is an advocate, an evil one out there that wants to send you on a dead-end road. Amen. I was just yesterday on the north side of Sweetwater looking for some old cars. Get that. Eh? Amen. I'm doing a build on a 1950 F4 truck for a client in Oklahoma City. Amen, but he just happens to have two sections of land up here north of Sweetwater that he's getting ready to sell. And he was telling me about two vehicles that had been out there in the pasture forever. Amen, and he wanted to know if they had any value. So I spent the afternoon looking for these old vehicles, and it was so beautiful. It was so quiet. I mean, north of Sweetwater is drop-dead gorgeous up there, a lot of rolling hills and all this. But once I got out of my car and got in the field, I start hearing cows, and I got a little bit of a fear with cows, okay? I had a stampede chase me out of a yard one time. Amen. Oh, wow. And everybody says they were just wanting to inquire who was there and visitate with me. Yeah. But when they come running at you and there's 50 of them, I get a little concerned, all right? And so I slid right under that barbed wire fence like I was going into home base, and I get a little nervous when I get in the field with cows. And so I'm behind these trees looking for this car. And all I could hear is, woo, woo, and it was getting louder and louder and more than one. They couldn't see me, but I bet they could smell me, okay? Oh. And so I just kept trying to stay away from them through these trees. But I noticed everywhere I went through the trees, there was already a path. So they've already been there, amen, and they knew the way. Well, they drove me right out of that field, amen, and I never saw them. It was the fear of it, of not even wanting to be confronted, amen, by about 10 or 15 black big old cows right there, and mama cows on top of that, amen. I just decided that I didn't find the car, amen. And so sometimes, amen, we allow certain things that come into our life on a natural realm, but if you're not careful, they control you. Now, nowhere did I see where them cows were a threat to me, and nowhere did I see where fear should have had any kind of, dominion over me, but it did. And when I got on my side of the fence, all was well, all right? But you know what? When you look at it in the pathway of the spiritual, and when you look at it in the realm of the supernatural, God's on your side, is he not? Amen. If my Bible said that God will never leave me nor forsake me, why am I fearful? Why would I be fearful of doing the will of God? Amen. It's not what you decide. Amen. God's grace is sufficient to keep you in every scenario that God sends you in. Can I get an amen? And even though we don't always know the surety of the end of that, the bottom line is we need to go with God. Amen. And so Jesus, amen, had just got done with all this business, amen, of the 5,000, and he sends the disciples away in a ship, amen, says, I'll meet you on the other side. They had a destination. They had a destiny. God had a plan for them, amen. But Jesus, it says here that after they had departed, he went to the mountain to pray. And oh, this is probably the most incredible opportunity for us today, is where is your mountain? Think about that. Amen. What do you see on top of a mountain? You see everything, don't you? Mm-hmm. Amen. When you're in the valley, you got the negative side of things. All you see is what's going up the hill. But when you're on the mountain and it's clear, you see what's ahead of you. You see what's going out there. And when I see this scripture in the Spirit, I see that Jesus constantly is getting directions from the Holy Spirit, amen, and telling him, look, this is where we're headed. This is where we're going. These are your marching orders. I'm with you. Amen. But the only way we're ever going to hear and be obedient to that, Monica, is when we learn to be separated amen, from all of the traffic that's in our immediate life. And when we become consecrated, whoa, there's a word. That means I'm totally sold out to a will. I'm sold out to a path. I'm sold out to a direction, amen, that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead me in, amen. And then I have that full confidence or confluence, if you will, of all these different signs that God has given me that I can be loyal when I hear his voice, amen. It's not always easy to go. Amen. I remember, I never forget it. Amen. I read about these three missionaries, these young lads, amen, that were going into the Congo or over there in the Amazonian area, all right? Hallelujah. Nobody had ever been in there before. Now, we're talking four or five generations ago since us, all right? Amen. And they were sent in there to go. They flew in. They landed the plane. True story now. They landed the plane in the sand right on the river, amen, there of the Amazonian River. They got out. They were met by natives. All right? Three men, young men. Amen. And the natives speared them and they died right there. Now, how could that be a plan? Amen. How could that be the will of God? But it was. Amen. And I guess the pilot got out of there, amen, or something, amen, flew back out, the word got out, amen, these three missionaries were killed, amen, right into the journey, amen, and three or four generations later, amen, they went back into this tribal area, amen, and were invited in, okay, amen, the missionaries that were of that time went in there, and they were told the story from their grandparents, forefathers, about how, you know, they had killed those three missionaries because they were basically in fear, didn't know them, the white people here, you know, amen. But now there was a church planted, the glory of God was shining, ministries, works were going on there, and they were invited in with open arms. So we never know the full cost, even though, now I'm not interested in going into Elk City and being knocked down with a spear, all right? Hallelujah. But there's plenty of other things that can take you out. Amen. And the thing about it is are we willing to be so consecrated to the plan of God? Amen. To where if it did cost our life, would we be willing? I can tell you right now in Ukraine, there's plenty dying, amen, trying to fulfill a will. Amen. The churches over there are going through extreme hardship. Amen. You can go to several countries, India countries, Arab countries, Iraq, different places like that, underground churches. We don't have that here, amen, in Sayre or Elk City, do we? Amen. We can go to church anytime we want to. And seemingly enough, we're having trouble getting people off COVID and come back home to church. Amen. We have a lot of excuses as to why we will not do the will of God. But the bottom line is the Word of God said, forsake not the fellowshipping of one another, did it not? Amen. I could say, well, I'm sorry, Neva, I just can't come. Well, I'm too close to Monica. I'm too close in them close quarters. I can't come up here and preach the gospel for you today. You're going to have to get a bigger place. No, man, when are we going to stop the madness?
Come on.
Huh?
Come
when are we going to stop with the excuses? Is God not big enough? Is God not good enough? Does God not care enough about us? And where does your loyalty lie? This is where you really have to get to. Jesus put the disciples in a boat, said, go float.
Come on.
They did not know that they were going to be up against the storm 9 hours later going to the other side. They said the waves were so big. They said it was carrying on. The Bible said they were just contrary to their rowing. And then all of a sudden, amen, Jesus, it says right here that when Jesus was praying, all of a sudden in the Spirit, understand this, in the Spirit, the Bible says here that Jesus saw them. Look at verse 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch. Now, Jesus was not there at the boat. He saw this in the Spirit. And the next thing it says is that all of a sudden, Jesus starts just walking by. I wonder how far he walked on the water. You reckon he started right at the shore off the mountain? Do you reckon he was supernaturally transferred right there?
Right.
Never know. What the Bible says is that all of a sudden, he was walking by the boat. Didn't say he walked to the boat. Let's get the scripture right. It said Jesus was walking by the boat or in the way. Amen. Now, let's understand this. Hallelujah. It was to the place that he was walking by that even the disciples said, we see a ghost. That can't possibly be Jesus walking on the water. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Nobody walks on the water. Huh? Come on now. Nobody walks on the water. Amen. And here it is. It must be a spirit. That's Jesus walking on the water. And then, you know, Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Well, you need to be careful what you start asking for. Come on now. Hallelujah. But there must be a direction. There was a purpose in all this. There was a purpose not only for rest, which they weren't getting no rest, were they? They just got done with 5,000 people feeding and manually laboring. I'm sure they were exhausted. Jesus puts them on a boat to go to the other side. 9 hours into it. Amen. They're toiling in the water. They're wondering if they're going to drown. Amen. And now, amen, a spirit is walking by them, walking on the water. Amen. To add more, amen, trouble to their spirit. And all of a sudden, amen, Peter's talking to Jesus. Let me tell you something. In your darkest place, if we would only look, in your darkest hour, in your darkest trouble, in your darkest avenue of life, and we all have them. We don't invite them. It comes. If we would look, you would see the Lord working on your behalf. Amen. Instead of getting so caught up in what's not working right now for you. Amen. It might be in a marriage. It might be in finance. It might be in relationships. It might be in troubled children. It might be in somebody that you love that's addicted. It might be, amen, in just some, you know, chaotic situation that's going on in general in our world. But if you will look, amen, to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will reveal what is the real purpose and direction of this plan that's going on, amen, right now. Amen. Don't go the journey alone. Amen. How many times are we going to do ministry alone? How many times are we going to try to do it our way? How many times are we going to go and try to plan it our own way? I was telling the church last Sunday when I was preaching, I said, I remember as a younger preacher, amen, my first pastor, he was just the most incredible man. Amen. He had so much patience. He didn't get no deal when he got me. All right. All right. He didn't. He didn't get no bargain. Matter of fact, that church didn't get no bargain when they got me. I had just come out of the Navy. I was a mouthy piece of work. I had a cussing problem. I had all. And this was a real hardline, amen, holiness type church. It had lots of rules and regulations. And I'm a rule breaker. Okay. But they took me in. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. By the grace and mercy of God. I don't know how they put up with me. Amen. But they saw something. And the amazing thing about it is they took me in like one of their own children. And that's the way they treated me. Man, the grandmas, they weren't having it. Amen. They straightened me out. I wasn't there 6 months and I was teaching a Sunday school class. I'd got saved, baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was working to God. And I learned to say yes. Greatest thing I ever did for God was learn to say yes. If they asked me to do something, I'd say yes. I didn't question it. It wasn't a matter of, I don't know if I got time to do it. And I was self-employed, and it was tough. It was, man, pastor, if you're asking me, I'm here. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I've been living for the Lord 42 years now, and that was the greatest thing I ever learned. Amen. I'm still saying yes, even when it's inconvenient, but it's worth it when it's for God. Amen. And so, you know, this church, they didn't get no deal. Amen. They could have got two others for one with me, man. I mean, and so, but the thing about it is God's grace was so good to me, and they brought me in. And I remember I got called to preach within 1 year of being saved. Amen. And understand, before I got saved, and I was like 21 years old, 22 probably, amen, I knew nothing about God other than I believed in God. My family did not live for God. We were not raised in church, okay? We believed in a God, but that was it. We didn't talk about God. We didn't do anything with God. And so, you know, sometimes I thank the Lord for that because I got it fresh the first time, all right? And so, you know, I get in church. It was the best thing that ever happened for me. Amen. Two-thirds of my adult life now I've lived for God, and it's been a wonderful life. And the thing about it is, as I remember about 8 or 10 years into this thing, I'd already called to preach. I mean, I was pastor's right-hand man. I was a youth leader. I was a college and career class teacher at the church. I mean, I was busy. Amen. God was moving, you know. And I told my pastor, I said, look, man, send me out. I'm ready. send me out of here. Amen. Launch me into the world, and I'll reach him for Jesus. And he says, you need to sit down and be quiet for a while.
Amen.
I had this zeal, but didn't have the wisdom to back it. I was on fire. Amen. But let me tell you, I am so grateful I waited another 6 to 10 years. I don't remember how many before I actually launched out. Amen. And it's been the change in my life is when I did get out there and pioneered a brand new church in Bixby, Oklahoma, I realized I didn't have all the tools I thought I had working. Amen. And some things you just learn when you get real, all right, and get active. But I'm so thankful that he was honest with me and said, look, just wait a while, all right. We'll send you when you're ready. And know that we know when you're ready. Amen. And that's what this confirms to me. Amen. Is that, you know, we're not always able to receive the spiritual things of God in a place that we need to. Amen. And he's trying to prepare our world. Would you say our world is spiritually capable of hearing everything God got to say right now? Mm-hmm. I would say not at all. Amen. And the saddest thing about that, and I'm not trying to be critical, is a lot of the church can't hear right now either. Amen. Or we'd be doing business differently in our churches. Why are we losing pastors? We're losing 1,750 pastors a month. Can you believe that we have that many? Worldwide, we're losing that many pastors through anxiety, depression, I'm fed up, I'm done. And that's because they got their eyes on the world of the church, all right? We're not going to have the attendance we had 5 years ago. We're not going to have, but man, we have, amen, tech that works for us. Mm-hmm. We've got the Hour of Power, hallelujah. Right? Amen. We have online abilities. Amen. If we'll use our Facebook and YouTube and things like this. So stop making excuses that you can't get the word out. And it's free. You just have to change the way you do church.
New tools.
Come on. And free tools.
New tools for a new time.
That's it. Times change.
Come on.
But the message doesn't.
Come on.
Come on now. Amen. How we deliver this to the world today. Let me tell you, I said this on Facebook the other day, and a friend of mine from Liberty Church down in Weatherford, Oklahoma, had posted something about us being good and, you know, about, you know, Christians, you know, if everything's well with you, that's good. But my mindset is, thank you, Lord, that I'm good, but I know dozens and dozens that haven't found him yet. Amen. And they're not good if the Lord comes quickly. Amen. Are we seeing their need? Are we seeing that we need to be that representation? Do we have the love to spend yourself that somebody else could find Jesus? See, I'm not sure that we're there today.
Come on.
Huh? We used to be. Amen. But we've got so busy in life. We've become a take care of me people in America. I can't talk for the rest of the world. I have 25 pastors and pastors in the Philippines, a team that I work with every time I go there, and I love them to death. And we stay in continuity regularly, amen, weekly. And man, they are reaching thousands of people on a weekly basis, you know, and we do good to get one a month, you know. If 2%, amen, of the church is getting saved through people walking in the door of the church every year, that means there's 98% evangelism. That means we got to go out into the world and yet not be of it. I'm not worried that I'm around a crowd of sinners. Hello. Did not Jesus do that? You know, Zacchaeus, come out that tree. Let's have lunch today. Whoa, that offends a lot of the church today. I say it in Sayre a lot. I'm not trying to be boastful. I say this very humble. Everybody knows me in Sayre, but I'm in town every day. Amen. Yeah, I've got a full-time business. I'm a 12-hour-a-day guy in my company and do what I do, but I spend it in the world too. Amen. I want them to know that there's somebody that loves them. I want them to know that there's somebody that they can talk to if they need to. And they come out to that gin every now and then and get counseling. They won't come to the church, but they'll come to the gin, the cotton gin I have, where I have my hot rod shop. So thank you, Lord. A different way of doing business. Amen. And so, what are you seeing? I titled this thought today, See What Jesus Sees. What does Jesus see? Until we get us out of the way, you're not going to see what he sees. Until I get my agenda off the board and start fulfilling his agenda, I'm not going to do what Jesus did. Huh? And they're waiting for somebody to share that word. It's not always what you say. It's who you are. Mm-hmm. It's that you're available. Your presence is anointed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm an anointed child of God. Every child of God that's name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know it is. Amen. You follow the orders of God. You are anointed. You don't have to say nothing. Thank you for the times that we can share that. But I've always found the greatest asset into reaching the lost is making a friend. They will talk to you when they trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Amen.
And then you have a good gem right there that will stay in the boat. Amen. You know, I was in Amarillo. Amen. I don't go there very often, but I'm a junk guy. You know, I like to go into junk stores, and me and the wife went up there. Amen. And we're going down 6th Street there, and I got all these junk stores, and I'm, you know, I'm a Navy guy, so, amen, I like, you know, boat stuff. And so all of a sudden, we got up to this one junk store, and right in the mirror is this, preserver. You would throw in the water, somebody would grab it, and you bring him back in the boat. Right? And I looked at that thing, and man, it had wear on it. Man, it just was the crispy, had all the nasty on it that it should have, being a life preserver, you know. And it was colored, and it, you know, it looked like it was 50, 60, 70 years old. And so I went in the store, and I looked at that thing, and I'm just going around it. I said, man, I got to have this. I want this in my office. Amen. And I talked to the guy, man, and he said, I'll take $8 for it. And I thought, wow, I'd give 50 for this thing, man. Amen, right? And so I said, this has got to be old, man. And so I go up to pay for it, and I get my money out because it's a deal, and I turn it over, and it said Hobby Lobby. And not everything is always what it said, you know, and it wasn't old. It was just the way they made it, and I cracked that. But I still bought it. I still wanted it. It was cool. Amen. But isn't that how life is? We put so much, like, wow, that had a wow factor, and that is antique. It wasn't antique at all, man. It came from Hobby Lobby, right? But the bottom line is it had the look. Well, not everybody is always going to share who they really are. Amen. But when you're really saved, love me through that. When you're really sold out to the kingdom purpose, it don't matter what you look like. They're going to sense who you really are. They're going to sense if you really love them. They're going to sense if you really care. Every time you've ever gave your testimony, since I've been here, and I've been on this show a lot over the years, amen, it's always been a magnitude of pureness. Amen. And I've always appreciated that, Monica. Amen. Every time I see her drive up, she just happens to Jesus. I don't know how she gets here. Amen. She's always overloaded with praise. Amen. But the thing about it is that you're not walking it alone. Amen. You're not walking it alone, sister. Amen. We've got somebody that walks with us. And let me tell you, my wife lives in Tulsa. I live here. We've been doing this for 8 years, back and forth. It's a lot of lonely nights. It's a lot of home alone. The dog don't talk English. Amen. And the thing about it is that even in all of that, we have to realize that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. When it really gets hard, we just got to talk to Jesus. We got some prayer requests?
Yes, sir.
All
we
right.
Do. Hang on.